Tom Parry brainstorming session. We need to do a good introduction for once. It's got to be sharp. It's got to
okay.
Hop.
What day of the week is it? It's a Sunday.
It is a
Sunday. Can we use that as ammunition?
Sunday fun day.
Sunday fun day. No.
I think it's already been taken.
Yeah, yeah. Sunday, okay, we're podcasting. We're in the kitchen. Kitchen, biscuits, tea.
Hobnobs.
Hobnobs.
Specifically.
Well, let's have a bit of a chat about our hobbies, nobbies, hobnobbies.
Why don't we just say it's a podcast called Tom and Matt Attack. That's me admitting defeat, that we are not good at coming up with podcast introductions now.
Well, you know, we don't write this.
We don't, no. We're actually, it's all on auto cue in front of us. There's a man pointing at me saying, read this sign. No, it is all improvised, our improvisational skills.
I think people at least write some sort of introduction, don't they?
Well, probably, usually, yeah. They probably give a damn enough to do that.
Probably do. But you're just here for us.
Exactly. Look at yourself, listener.
It doesn't matter what we're doing, what we're saying.
Say my name.
Probably here for all the juicy gaming gossip.
Oh, the juicy. Yeah. That would have been a better introduction. Let's talk about all the juicy gaming.
Yeah, what are you here for? Oh, I'm here for juicy gaming gossip.
Oh, I'm
Matthew.
Here for the juicy gaming gossip.
Well, I've got a thing or two I can tell you about. It's Tom Matt Attack. There you go.
That would have been a good introduction. Oh, well. Pity this is a minute and a half into a podcast. Oh, well. We got an episode title, at least. How are you doing?
Juicy game. I'm doing fine. I've just been playing a bit of Yakuza.
Yakuza?
I was curious after playing Kiwami on the PS4, how it compared to the original Yakuza, because it's been such a long time since I played that. And I played the same 20 minutes I played back when I first bought Yakuza, just to sample it and... Yeah, there are some differences, aren't there, Matthew? We just discussed them off-podcast.
But let's just say, when you put in that PS2 copy of Yakuza, were you not gripped by the gravitas? Were you not
Lord.
Oh man, look at that man in his white suit.
I should have put it in 60 hertz or not, because sometimes things aren't as sharp in 60.
I put it in 60 and I played it that way, fine.
And wow, it's still like playing a PS1 game. I thought, now the question is, what do you call him?
You call him fuck. You don't call him Anarchy because that's like that means like uncle. That means like superior. That's just like a nickname.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm a Kiryu.
You just call him Kiryu.
Kiryu. Yes. Well, he looks a lot like Solid Snake in the first Metal Gear Solid.
Yes, he does.
His face because you can't really see it from a distance. All those fixed camera angles as well. That was quite jarring at first.
Yes.
And not being able to negotiate areas, small rooms very well.
No.
The definite improvement there in the remake.
Yes, definitely.
But there's a lot of things that slow down the pace of the beginning of the game. And yeah, it's a lot tighter, the original.
Yeah, I would say so. They forced Majima into the PS4 game in a way.
Well, I thought
they totally...
You know, I couldn't remember he was actually in it. I was thinking that he wasn't in it at all. And I was surprised when I saw him. I was like, oh, right, this is the same scene.
Yeah.
But it's just elongated to set up him returning.
Majima everywhere mode.
Yeah.
He's just a nutcase, like in the first game. He's not more than that. It's from the second one that they start to kind of, after Kiryu ends up beating the shit out of him towards the end of the first game, he kind of gains a respect for Kiryu and it kind of becomes the classic anime rivalry of like, oh, I'm going to be better than you thing, but you are the guy who's the best.
Yeah. And then after that, what's all that business with the ring?
The ring is...
The ring is important. I can see that from the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
But they set up, you have to go and buy the ring. You have to go and buy a present for Yumi.
For Yumi.
Yeah. Which isn't something that I had to do on the PS2 version.
No, Kiryu automatically has it. To be honest, there is no tutorialization of how shops work in that game in the original Yakuza.
Ah, and that's what that is.
Yeah, so they don't even mention to you, like, oh, by the way, you should probably pick up these energy drinks because they are your health. Like, you just have to kind of figure that out yourself because sometimes you pick them up after battles.
One thing I preferred about the original as well was the fighting felt more dynamic. I don't know, there's something more brutal about the fighting, and it felt easier and more natural. Smoother, in fact.
I would agree.
Yeah. Which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't necessarily feel that the transition from... Well, I guess it would be from Ishin, the second of the Japanese samurai games, to Yakuza 0 into Kiwami, really helps the series at all. I think, again, going back to my point, I think Yakuza 4 is the best in the game, purely because...
The best in the series.
Without a shadow of a doubt, it's the best in the series, sorry. It just has so much more. You know, not only is the narrative the strongest of all the Yakuza games, like the four characters offer a lot of depth and variety in that fighting system.
Yeah.
That they try and incorporate in Zero with these different stances, but it never feels quite right. Mm-hmm. Like, they try and fit Akiyama's fast style to Kiryu, and it doesn't really work, and it kind of feels a bit awkward, and Kiryu is always best to fight in that brawler style that he had on the PS2 and that you've kind of grown to know and love.
Yeah, smashing people's heads against walls.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of you literally just, like, booting a dude in the face.
It doesn't really introduce that, does it, in the PS4 one? Because it says here, you know, build this up. Now you can, when you see the icon, you can slam someone into the wall. I couldn't remember that being...
Yeah, you can do that in the PS2.
Yeah, it's just not as clear.
No.
No. Kicking them on the ground as well.
You only get that after a certain point, thus in a skill tree.
Ah, but it's there from the beginning.
It is there in the beginning in Yakuza 2. Yeah. To be honest with you, it kind of catches you off guard. From the second Yakuza game, it's a skill tree thing. And I'm like, why the fuck can't I just press triangle and, like, boot a guy on the floor? But you can't. So,
also, I like the voice acting
in the English
one.
Yeah,
I thought it was very good.
Bad.
Yeah,
it's really not bad, especially seeing as it's like a 2005 game. Like, I think it may even be earlier. I think it may even be like 2002. Oh. Like, it's very decent dialogue. I don't get why
the dialogue
hated it.
There's a lot more swearing in it.
Yes, there is.
I guess that was to appeal to a certain demographic.
Mm-hmm.
It's unnecessary. It feels a bit nasty, I guess. But, I guess you can expect it, but it doesn't... Once you know how it is in the PS4 version, it feels a bit wrong.
Yeah, perhaps I would notice it a lot more going back now.
Yeah.
Because Kiryu especially only tends to swear... when shit really hits the fan.
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite in his character, does it?
No.
Yeah.
He's very controlled.
Yeah. Anywho, that were just my thoughts on comparing the two games, as I say, I've been playing both today. So.
Yeah. Did you not...
I share that with you.
Did you not put that first PS2 game in, though, and go, wow, I should really play all of this because it's a really good game?
You know what? I found myself wanting to play that one more than the PS4 one.
That's why
funnily enough, although the visuals... Yeah, that is a sore point.
Yeah, but that's why...
And
again,
as I said, the camera angles too.
This is why I played through them in chronological order, because I knew I would never be able to go back to that PS2 one once I got further in.
Yeah.
But I love that series. We've talked about it in great lengths on this podcast this year.
Yeah. What do you think about the idea of playing games on the original systems? For example, if I wanted to play The Last of Us, should I play it on the PS3 or should I just get the nice PS4 one?
Well, I mean, this is kind of a conversation that's going to come up a lot, I think, in the years
to
come. I mean, everyone did HD remasters on the PS3 and the Xbox 360 generation.
It's that Shadow of the Colossus. You play that on the PS3, though. You don't play it on the PS2.
Yeah, but I mean, like, now you could also play a completely remade version of the same game in the PS4 also.
Yeah.
So it's just like, well, do you play that one or do you play... For me, it's always the original.
Yeah. It was like, but... Shadow Colossus, you know, isn't so great on PS2. There's that slowdown is quite evident in that.
There's also that, what is dubbed the impossible jump, of a jump that is incredibly tricky, and essentially you have to almost run off the edge before you click the jump button to make
it. They fix that.
They fix that in the PS3.
Mm.
Apparently that's only, I think, maybe in the North American release. I'm not too sure, or the Japanese, the same one of them. But
how do you feel about the PS4 version? You think that's absolutely necessary? Or
I mean, games are a weird thing, right? I don't think you would ever... Well, I mean, no, I'm talking to my ass. I was about to say, like, I don't think you would retake a classic piece of cinema and try and remake it for a modern audience, but everyone's doing that at the moment as well.
And also, you take a film which you thought was perfectly fine in HD, and then you redo it again in 4K, so you have to buy it again. Yeah. If you want that clarity, I suppose.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about it, to be honest.
It's just the same as releasing a film from VHS to DVD to Blu-ray to 4K Blu-ray.
Well, I mean, like, playing Yakuza is a great example of this. It's just like they've added a lot more to try and almost change the artistic interpretation of the first game and also try and make it more in line with their own prequels.
Yeah.
And so you get changes, and not all of them I necessarily agree with. And to be honest with you, the same story beats seem to be throughout, and that was my favourite thing of it,
mm-hmm.
was that the story in that first game is very, very good. Comparing to Yakuza 4, I couldn't say it was my favourite game in the series, even though it was the one that really got me into it and really made me buy into the idea of Kiryu Kazuma. Like,
yeah. I think it also has got something to do with English voice acting as well.
I
don't know. It feels easier to connect when it's in your native language.
To be honest, I kind of prefer the Japanese voice cast, though. It felt very strange going from Yakuza 1 to Yakuza 2.
I'm all right with it. I don't. It just makes it feel more real in a way to me.
Yeah, perhaps.
Being in English. It's like Shenmue as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to be honest, like I said, I get this weird, what they call cultural tourism that you get from Yakuza games. I've been to Japan and we stayed in Shinjuku, which is the area that they make in that game. And for me, it's really weird because even though it's called a Kamurocho in the game, it is clearly Shinjuku, and there are clearly parts of that where I would be playing that game and Marta would look over and go, shit, we stayed there. And I'd be yeah, we did. That's totally the hotel we were in.
That's a strange experience, I imagine.
It's crazy and it's weird going into like 7-Elevens, because that's what 7-Elevens in Japan feel like.
Mm.
And Family Marts and all this other stuff. And there are people like that walking around. There are guys in suits everywhere. Obviously, they're not as aggressive to you as the guys in Yakuza, but like you do genuinely see Yakuza everywhere.
Wow.
And they are in suits. And, you know, like, they're almost like a cultural artifact to someone like me who's not interacting with them.
Hey, I wonder if there's Japanese people doing a podcast talking about The Getaway.
Yeah, maybe.
Perhaps. I was there in Britain, in London. I recognise.
They're playing Quidelka and going, wow, I was in that really small Welsh village that's infested by monsters. We call them people from the valleys. I kid because I love. No, it's...
Oh, it makes me want a British game, though, that sort of looks a little bit more real than...
What, you mean like everybody's going
to
The Getaway?
I mean, The Getaway, I think, was... Oh, Rapture, yeah, that's a good point. The Getaway, though, was meant to be based upon London, wasn't it? Like, mapped like London is proper.
Yeah.
I just remember it being very grey, and I know that is the perception of Britain and
it's the truth,
London.
Tom.
But it's not always that great. Not all the time.
9 days out of 10, let's be honest.
Yeah, let's have another one, though. Another one set in a city. Our own Yakuza. That
yeah, I
fun.
Mean, like, Assassin's Creed Syndicate was set in London, but I mean, that's obviously Victorian
London. Of the time,
London.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would like a game that goes to the depths of, say, an LA Noir, where they took the 1960s time plan, town plans of...
That's nice.
Los Angeles
That's
and literally nice. Map the buildings one-to-one
There's
and stuff.
A lot
stuff.
Of games set in America. Maybe they'll do a GTA one day.
Well, I mean, like, that was
I know there was London.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was 2D, so...
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we went off on a bit of a tangent.
We're jumping into...
I do genuinely feel that...
Freeform podcasting, Matt.
You should play a game on its original format is my thing. Yes, it is nice to be able to play an updated version of that game. And yes, sometimes there is a case where they will fix things, as in the PS3 version of Shadow
Although,
Colossus.
I'm very much someone, if the original format costs hundreds of pounds, then I won't. I'd prefer to play maybe a digital version.
Don't get me wrong. I'm okay with emulating stuff 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But if
you have the means, you say, and it's you're not going out of your way to do it. You might have both games, you know.
Yeah, I mean, play whatever makes sense to you. Like, you know, if you have a PS3 version of Shadow of Colossus, then play that. Don't play the PS2 one. Like, don't go out of your way to buy a game just to experience the purity of it.
Don't go and buy the console and the game, you know. Say you wanted to play Shadow of the Colossus. We're not encouraging you to go out and buy a PS2 if you don't already have one.
No,
try to find a copy of Shadow of the Colossus.
And I mean, you know, like...
And a memory card.
Now there's things like the Super NES Classic. So the people are making these options available for you. I mean, the emulation on the Wii was incredible.
Yeah, I was thinking about this recently, how you could play great emulated versions of N64 games on the Wii and the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And as I understand it, emulating N64 isn't the easiest thing to do. It's one of those formats which is a bit more difficult, isn't
it? Yeah, because the sound stuff is on the cartridge. There's a few weird things with the N64.
Yeah, some consoles are harder to emulate than others, aren't they?
Especially the Saturn, I believe.
The Saturn, okay. So I was curious when I heard about the N64 Mini, which is some list of games that have been leaked. Have you heard about this?
No, I haven't.
Okay, this is a fun little story. So online on the Nintendo.co.uk, there's a bunch of instruction manuals that just appeared, 19 instruction manuals for N64 games.
Okay.
And so that's led people to believe that 19, you know, that's ish the kind of amount you'd expect.
It's a ballpark, yeah.
And then why are those 19 specific games up there?
Right then, let me see if I can try and guess.
Oh, okay.
Pilotwings 64.
No, that's the most shocking one. Everybody who I've mentioned this to has said the same thing. Pilotwings.
I'm not even really a big fan of Pilotwings. I just assume Pilotwings would be on there.
Yeah.
Well, again, saying that, I don't think Pilotwings is on the SNES Classic either, so maybe they're just...
No, I'm kind of just ignoring that franchise because it's not current.
No, maybe. Right then. I don't know. Okay, Ocarina of Time is clearly one that's going to be on there. Super Mario 64 is clearly one. Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Lilac Wars?
Yeah.
There are a lot of third-party stuff. Banjo-Kazooie?
No. Well, that's because Microsoft own it, don't they?
Oh, yeah, shit, they do. GeForce Gemini?
No, Microsoft.
So none of the Rare games are going to be on there, except Donkey Kong 64.
Yes, that's on there.
Shit, okay. GoldenEye?
Nope.
Oh, man. Oh! Bomberman 64?
Yes, funnily enough.
Good.
Even though I'm not a huge fan of that.
Blast Corps?
No, Rare, you know, Microsoft.
Iggy's Wrecking Ball?
No.
Mischief Makers?
No, that's disappointed some people.
Ah, damn it. All right, Castlevania?
No.
Neither of the Castlevania games?
They're not considered classic N64 games.
Oh, but I mean, like, a lot of people... Like, I think a lot of people would genuinely buy that game for the second one. Yeah. I can't remember the
name. I can't remember the name. Harmony of Dissonance.
No, that's a Game Boy.
And I was making a joke there. I can fill you in if you like.
No, right. Okay. So, are there more Mario sports games?
Yes.
Tennis, golf.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's eight. Party.
Which one?
Oh, really? Two, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay. That's 9 games out of 19. Do they have... Oh, 10 80 degrees snowboarding.
Yes.
Waver Race?
Yes.
Shit, I'm feeling quite clever. I got 11 of these.
Fun, isn't it?
Right, okay. What else have we got? Clay Fighters, 63 and a half. Okay. F-Zero X?
Yes.
These are genuinely, like, other than Bomberman so far, all of these have been Nintendo, other than Donkey Kong 64.
It's very much that way, yeah.
Okay. Are there many third party on them?
No.
Oh, shit, okay. So, Sin and Punishment?
No.
Oh, damn it, that would have been good. I was just like, oh, well, you know, with the...
Unless they haven't translated the instruction manual yet.
Maybe not. Earthbound 64, it wasn't even finished, so that's never going to happen. No. Are there 64 DD games on there? So no Doshin the Giant, okay. They're not going to have translated the Animal Crossing game for the N64 either, because that
nothing
would be
so
too
outlandish.
Sensible.
No, so a little bit closer to home.
Yeah. Right, okay. Oh, well, Majora's Mask actually is one I'm missing.
Yes, there you go.
Shit, so that leaves another six games.
You know, and I'm going to... I can't remember... If I remember that.
That leaves another six games. Okay, what have we got, Tom? What is it? The key Yoshi story.
Yes, wow, you're doing super here.
That's
really good. Well done.
Right.
And everyone listening will know this list already.
Yeah, well, of course they will have read it. I've got another five left. Go on, put the audience out of the misery if you've
well,
got
I've got to look
there.
Keep going while I look it up online.
What are the first party Nintendo games out there on the N64? There's probably one that's clearly really, really obvious.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of it now.
I'm trying to think what I have and what I have boxed specifically because they're probably more than... Oh, Smash Brothers.
Not that I remember now.
Really? They didn't put Smash Brothers on there.
Rumor Buster. Okay.
Right, okay.
The N64 Classic Mini Game List leak is a batch of old PDF files. So calm down, everybody.
Okay.
This article says. So records good.
Turok.
No.
Fuck.
It is an old list.
Okay.
It's not a recent thing that's appeared.
Right, okay, but still, give us this list. Give us. I want to see what else was on you that I didn't guess.
Okay. Oh, Sin and Punishment.
Was Sin and Punishment on there?
On top of that, when you look at Sin and Punishment manual, it's actually a reproduction of the European Virtual Console manual, so it's not even the quality. Well, no, well, that's not what I heard. Oh, I've got to find this list. Oh, hang on to...
I was going
to
say, you almost struck me one down that I was quite happy to get.
Horses... So, but there's probably no truth in this.
No, there probably isn't, but it makes a fun little quiz anyways.
It is a fun little quiz, and it makes you think about what were those games that made, you know, so classic.
Well, the fact I'm struggling to think of more than 15 that are made by Nintendo. Oh, Diddy Kong Racing.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, come on!
I could be wrong.
Smash Brothers and Diddy Kong Racing aren't on there.
We might have to come back to this.
Surely, Tom. Surely they must be
on
there.
It's hard to find the list. Did you say Mario Kart?
I did say Mario Kart, yeah.
Well, you're right. This phone's so slow.
This makes for riveting podcasting, I understand. I'm trying to keep it entertaining.
You know, websites are so hard to navigate nowadays, aren't they? Because there's all these bloody pop-ups and crap.
Oh, you're also under pressure of a listening audience, clearly.
So Smash Bros. Isn't on there, Diddy Kong Racing isn't on there, GoldenEye isn't on there. Anyway, there's probably no truth in this, but it's a bit of fun, and I can't find a list very easily, sorry.
Oh, God damn it, Tom. There must be other stuff, though.
There are other games, you know. I'm a big fan of the N64 myself, and yeah, I consider it to have many classic games. There's right. plenty that I'd like on there, like the wrestling games as well, but they're not on there. You know, No Mercy or... WrestleMania 2000?
Yeah.
Anything like that. That's not on there. I don't think there's many or any licensed things.
So, like, those 14 I named aside, what would you really...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think. You know, I think Turok is very synonymous with the N64.
Yeah.
At least one of the Turok
games. I mean, if GoldenEye isn't going to be on there, then it needs to be something, right?
Yeah. But maybe Nintendo don't want to consider it part of their heritage, N64 heritage, even though it was... But the likes of the 1080 and Wave Race and F-Zero...
Killer Instinct. Oh, no, it would also be Microsoft.
it does cause a problem. Also, you know...
I'm just better at the internet than you. I found this list very easily. Oh. Right then, okay. I missed Excite Bike. I'll start at the top, right? Okay. 1080 Degree Snowboarding, Bomberman 64, Donkey Kong 64, Excite Bike 64, F-Zero X, Mario Golf, Mario Kart 64, Mario Party 2... Mario Tennis. Paper Bloody Mario, of course.
Yeah.
Pokemon Snap.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
I should have guessed that one. Sin and Punishment was on the list. Thank you very much.
Oh,
I got 15. Super Mario 64, Majora's Mask, Ocarina of Time, Wave Race, Yoshi's Story, Kirby 64, The Crystal Shards is a game I repeatedly forget exists, and Star Fox 64.
I mean, it's a good list. If they were to do one,
yes,
then that's pretty solid.
Yeah. That would be all right. I mean, do you really, really, really want to play Excitebike 64?
It has an unlockable version of the original Excitebike on it.
It does. But do you really,
it's all
really
right.
want to play
it? It's a pretty good game. There might be other ones on the N64 I'd rather play more. Mystical Ninja.
Oh my God, the Goemon games! Yeah, you're right. Actually, there's no... Well, no, Bomberman's Konami, right? Because, no, it's technically
Hudson.
Square Enix now because of Hudson. I was trying to think who'd bought Hudson. No, I'm sure Konami bought Hudson. I can't remember. It's a long time ago. That's why we never got the Bond game that should have come out on the PS2 era stuff.
Mm, okay.
Interesting, Tom. You've been buying or playing anything other than Yakuza? Because, to be honest with you, I've been very, very light on the ground in terms of playing games this week.
Hmm. So, have I been buying or playing any more games this last week? Well, I did have a bit of splurge on Lemmings games. I found a fellow Lemmings collector online. Because I often, well, every now and again, go on eBay and see what's available, right. Lemmings-wise. A guy was selling his entire Lemmings collection.
Okay.
Consisting of a lot of rare games, a lot of Japanese-only Lemmings releases and such. Oh, the FM Towns Lemmings.
Oh, really?
You know, and an exclusive Mac version of Lemmings, which was released in Japan with different packaging. Christmas Lemmings add-on for Lemmings 3D. Well, which you don't always see out and about. But what interested me most about all the things that he had was he had another copy of Christmas Lemmings 94 for the Amiga.
The game you foolishly overwrote.
Yeah. So he was very good. He did a little deal for me. I bought, I think, three things from him.
Did you buy the MM Towns?
That's like £300 he wanted for that. I mean, I think that must be quite collectible. I bought a range of books, really only for one particular book, the strategy guide that came with the bonus disc full of exclusive Lemmings levels.
Okay.
And I bought, let's say, Christmas Novice Night 4, and I also bought a Lemmings badge.
Okay.
A pin. That's the pins nice. Can be quite expensive. This is the Umbrella Lemming pin.
Yes.
So he got me, he wanted £20 for that. Because I bought the other things, he said he can have it for £10.
Yeah.
Buy the other two. And the books I got for a reasonable £35 for the books.
Yeah.
The Christmas Lemmings is a little bit more, but...
Okay.
Yeah, 60 or something. I can't remember.
How much did you pay for that originally?
About the same.
Fucking hell.
It's a very expensive Amiga game. The PC, the DOS version's not as expensive, but the 94 is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
On the Amiga.
Jeez, he also has Lemmings 2 for the FM Towns.
He has a lot of interesting games, but I limit myself to around about £100.
Well, yeah, you're not spending, what, £300-400 on a game you can never play because you don't have an FM Towns anyways.
Primarily, I want to buy Lemmings games
the man's icon is a Lemmings thing.
Yes.
Did you chat with him?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Do you understand why?
I showed him my Lemmings collection as well. He says he needs some money. He's between jobs at the moment.
Yeah.
And he needs to get some money, so he's selling his Lemmings collection.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, he's got one for the Sharp 68000 as well. That's another Japanese computer.
Yeah.
Where people such as Satoru Iwata cut their teeth on programming. Mm. Very, very old computer.
So some of them a little more expensive than I paid for them as well. Which I find interesting, either the value's gone up or he originally paid more than I did for some of these.
Potentially, yeah. Games. I mean, like, are very frugal when it comes to
these things.
He said
about the books, he did pay a lot more for the books. He was actually making a loss on the books.
Have you got the Atari Lynx version of Lemmings?
Yes, I have, yeah. Well, you helped me get that.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And you're putting me in the right direction.
Yeah, that's true. I did, because he has a box copy.
Mine's boxed.
Yeah.
The box is a bit tatty, but that's...
That's fair, yeah, that's fair.
That's fine. He's got the different Game Gear variants of Lemmings as well, I think. He's got the, reproduction Lemmings 2 for the
Master System,
which never was officially released, but the game was made, but it never got released.
He does have Lemmings for the Game Boy Color as well.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't have that. But it is American only, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Lemmings BS Japanese as well.
Yeah, I've got that.
Interesting stuff.
Yes. You pointed me in the direction of a copy of Double Dragon Advance.
I did. Did you get it?
Yes.
Good.
I did.
I believe that was the store that you once pointed me towards to get a Game Boy game
I don't know
from.
If I've ever heard of that store.
No. Someone once pointed me towards that particular store.
There's a shop in York.
In York, yeah. That does tend to have good deals from what I've seen on their Facebook posting. They seem to be nice guys. They tend to post a lot.
Great transaction, friendly guy, sorted, done, dusted.
Yeah, I knew
£28 with postage.
I knew you were after it. I know it's quite a pricey game, that's why I bought the box
copy.
So,
I think that is reasonable.
Cool in the gang. I actually picked up some Game Boy Advance games yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did. I went to, there's a huge, huge flea market here in Denmark called Stumper Market that I go to every...
Stumpy Market?
Stumper Market. That I go to every... It's on twice a year, I think, and I get there super early. This is the one where I previously got a load of box Super Nintendo stuff. I tend to walk away with at least one or two Game Boy games, if not Game Boy Advance things in the more recent times. And I just went there to have a look around. I didn't really expect to pay much. I didn't really take much money with me, purely because I didn't plan on spending much either. And so I walked around for a little bit. There's a seller that I tend to see at a lot of these things. And he was the guy that I got that top-down racing game that the name escapes me from.
Very generic racing game. We talked about it a couple of podcasts ago, didn't we?
Yes, but quite rare.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to him. And I told our friend Chris, who I was going to the flea market with, I don't know if I'm going to buy anything. Like, I checked this guy's stall out like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month, and he didn't have anything then. But lo and behold, today he did have some new stock, and I finally got myself a copy of the original Sonic Advance, as well as a copy of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 Battle Nexus, which I didn't have on a cart on its own. I have the double pack, but... I have no way of like logging that in collection.
I'd like
stuff.
To get the one based off the film.
The Ubisoft one, TMNT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is also a side-scroller.
It is. I keep seeing that on this guy's stall, and I keep meaning to pick it up for myself, and I never end up doing it. But I will eventually. I then wandered into another hall, and... A lady who usually has Game Boy games had no Game Boy games this time, so I scanned her stall. I couldn't see any Game Boy games. This is the same woman I got that box for Star Wars from for free a couple of months back because someone had nicked the game.
Star Wars
out of
on
it.
The Game Boy Advance?
Star Wars on the Game Boy, the original Star Wars on the Super Nintendo cover. And yeah, she had a copy of Super Mario 3 for 30 quid.
30 quid.
Complete in box.
That's good.
Seems to be going right for it.
Okay.
The box was very nice. It's got a slight crease in the top of it. And to be honest with you, I've kind of always wanted to have
a
boxed
nice
copy
box.
Of Super Mario 3.
It's got yellow blue on it. Yellow and blue being my two favourite colours.
Yeah, it wasn't the, oh my God, this is such a bargain thing that a lot of the other things
it's
I picked up
were. It's an iconic box though, isn't it?
But it's an iconic Mario box. 3. It's the only Mario game for the NES. That's actually probably the only Mario game I didn't have boxed. Except maybe... No, I do have Super Mario 64 as well. Yeah, this is literally the last Mario game I needed to get boxed of the main run of the series.
Wow, I never really thought about that. I don't have that many boxed like you.
I had Super Mario 2 because I bought it way back when games were cheap and friends were few. And I bought Super Mario, the original game, if you remember, not long after we moved back to Denmark when we moved here.
Oh yeah, that's
the
lovely box, the black
nice
one.
Little black box, yeah.
With a nice little black box.
Well, I mean, like saucy. The Europe. For those of you who don't know, the European, i.e., mainland Europe, black boxes are different to those released in the States and the UK. Whereas in the UK and in America, they tend to have the pixel art that we all know and love. So Mario in the fire flower costume jumping into lava on Super Mario Brothers. The European releases actually take the Famicom art.
It's much nicer.
It's a beautiful like Japanese illustration, and it looks really nice on the black boxes, which is why European black boxes tend to raise a lot more money. Mm. Also, interestingly enough, the black boxes in Europe are smaller. They are the exact size of the cart, and they don't have the little bit of foam in the bottom of them to pop them up. The version of Mario I have, however, is a transitional box, so it is the correct size of a black box. Actually makes it rarer.
Wow.
Weird.
You're a Super Mario game collector.
I just really like Super Mario.
But not Super Mario 64.
That game's shit.
No, it isn't. You're just being controversial now. No one can say it's shit.
No, it's not for me. I don't. There's aspects of that game I don't
We've
like.
We've been over this. No, let's move on quickly.
I can't talk about it yet, but there's aspects to another game that may or not be in that series.
Odyssey.
That have given me like, oh my God, maybe I should go back and play Mario 64 moments. Anyways, I also picked up then off another seller. I walked into a hall and he had games generically priced as 25 kroner each and just... stacks of 360, PS3, PS2, PS1, and then just like some Wii games and a few PC games, just mm-hmm. all in a crate, not really rearranged.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking in there, and there was like Motorhead and a few other like racing games. I was like, oh, there's not going to be anything in your PS1 games that I really want. I was actually on the lookout for some stuff for Secret Santa for PS2, but I couldn't find those. And so I started digging through, and then I was just like, oh my god, Zero Divide 2, the greatest fighting game ever made for the PlayStation.
That,
oh,
I really
did
that
game. Zero Divide 2.
Okay.
The greatest game.
Where opinions on its quality are divided.
Yeah, especially in this particular room right now. No, I bought this game for you absolutely ages ago after learning of its existence. And
not bad.
You didn't it's have just, it.
Yeah.
So I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, shit, cool. This is actually quite an obscure game. Other yeah. than the copy I bought you for your birthday way back when, I've never actually seen this. Mm. So I grabbed that.
It's considered and then, a bit obscure, yeah.
Yeah, and then below that, directly, was a really nice condition copy of Spyro the Dragon, which, believe it or not, I didn't actually own. I don't own Spyro. I had it as a child. I played it a lot. But PlayStation 1 cases are quite yeah. fragile, and unlike my Super Nintendo boxes, which I kept on a shelf, my PS1 games yeah. are kind of thrown in a bottom drawer, and the cases broke over time and then disappeared.
Back in the day, I was quite quite picky about what games I bought. I'd read that Spyro 2 was better than Spyro 1, so I was like, well, if I'm going to buy one Spyro game, I'll just buy two.
I have Spyro 2. Yeah. I don't think I've ever played it. I really enjoyed Spyro 1.
Yeah.
If I have the disc of Spyro 1 still, I will give it to you.
Well, no, I do have it. I do have the means to play it. I okay. downloaded a digital copy of all three original trilogy, so I can play it.
Other than Spyro's voice being incredibly annoying, I believe it's genuinely probably
it's okay. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and the guy also had a blue Game Boy Pocket, so I picked that up.
Why?
Just because I could.
The Game Boy.
Just because he was there and it was a Game Boy, and I went.
Which was the Game Boy?
The Game Boy was not too much. I can't actually remember because I kind of got it bundled in with.
Yeah,
like,
get Game Boy Fever. You just went. Game Boy.
I bought the things. I think I gave him a 100 kroner for all of it. He seemed pretty happy with that, so that was okay. But it was also because I had just bought for like 50 quid an absolutely shit ton of G.I. Joes, so at that point I don't think he cared what I paid for anything.
Oh, okay.
A good friend of mine, Tom, in the UK, owner of Super Tomato in Cardiff, which is my favourite bricks and mortar store that I visited.
I'll be Tom in the UK soon as
you
well.
You will be Tom in the UK soon. Oh god, that'll be confusing. Yeah. And then I'll have like four close friends called Tom in the UK. Now that will be rather annoying. I'll have to like sift you an order in my phone. But no, I got him a shit ton of G.I. Joes, which I actually spent the morning. It was like 90 figures or something, and vehicles. Like
he's really big into.
I mean, like, yeah, he's that is his thing, G.I. Okay. Joe and Star Wars, and Lego recently. Bless him, he started buying loads of old space stuff. Mm. Yeah, so that was pretty much me. I haven't had a chance to play any of these things yet. Yeah. I hear Sonic Advance is great. I have had 2 and 3 for
I've
a very long time.
It.
So I will get into playing through that game.
Mm. Did I tell you I bought Super Lucky's Tale?
No, you mentioned you were probably going to buy it.
What convinced me to buy it was the fact that I bought the Nintendo Switch from Game and I had some money on my loyalty card.
Credit,
yes, about £8.50, I think. So I just put that towards Super Lucky's Tale, which was 20 quid, got it for £11, whatever, you know. Is that right? Something like that, anyway. £12. £11.50.
Ooh la la!
Yeah. So I'll pick that up when I get to go back to the UK, give that a go. That genre very much appeals to me, the colourful cartoon platformer.
And naturally you bought
like
Bubsy Woolly Strike Back.
No, I didn't. No. I'm curious to play it, though. I'd like to try it, but yeah. I'm not willing to pay for it.
Did you
especially
buy...
Especially not the price that it's going for. Was the retail price about 30 quid.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, you should just buy Sonic Forces, which is like 50, and then here is a much better game.
I bought Sonic Forces for $27.99 from Amazon for the PS4.
Have you got it yet?
Not yet. I will, again, along with Super Lucky's Tale, pick that up. I'll do. We can talk about it on the show. I'll also do Paris Pickups on those two. I was playing a few games of Paris Pickups today, playing a bit more of ReCore,
mm-hmm.
Realizing how much of a platform game that is,
yes.
opposed to anything else. You know, there's a big emphasis on platforming, and I really enjoy platform games.
Some might call it an action platformer.
Yeah, with great tight controls as it has, it is a very enjoyable game. Although on the Paris Pickles video, I mentioned Story, and I realized I didn't know why I was doing anything. I'd totally forgotten what was going on.
Really?
It's not a very memorable setup. It's been a while since I started the game, and I can't remember. I'm in a desert.
Yep, you're a lady.
I'm a lady in a desert, and I got a robot dog, and something about my dad giving me a message somewhere.
Okay.
And maybe I'm looking for him.
That's more than I know about that game. I've got none of this set up.
I can't remember. So I played a bit more of that. Puyo Puyo Tetris has kept me busy for a while.
Yep.
I just recorded some footage for it the other day, and then I couldn't stop playing it, which is how it goes when I turn that game on. Really enjoy it.
Well, you know what they say, Tom. Once you Puyo Puyo pop, you just can't stop.
I can't stop popping. And then the Atari Flashback Volume 2, played a little bit of that. What's good about that is it's got Breakout, Crystal Castles, Missile Command, Asteroids.
Centipede on that one? Or
no, Centipede's on the other one. I'd actually say this is actually a better collection than the other one. On the other one.
So what did you say?
And Millipede.
Crystal Castles,
Crystal
Breakout.
Castles, Breakout, Super Breakout, Asteroids, Missile Command.
You can play all but one of those games on a Game Boy.
Yeah, I've got an Atari Game Boy collection. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got them on, isn't it?
It does, yeah. Fortunately, there's no Crystal Castles on the Game Boy.
No, and that's a great sort of like... I never played it before, but like Pac-Man.
Crystal Castles I've played in the arcade once when I was a kid and hadn't seen for years, and then the band Crystal Castles came out, and I was like, oh shit, there's a game called
That's a
this.
Great name for a band.
It
that's
is.
A great name for a game.
Yes. I would agree.
So if you can get that cheap, it's pretty good, but only buy it if it's cheap. But you see, I have no intention of getting an Atari 2600 myself. And also, these games give you the ability to play the arcade games. So they're pretty nice packages. Yeah, the arcade, especially some of the vector-based ones, like Asteroids, you know. There's some other ones as well on there. They also look very nice.
The vector-based ones, naturally, if you're going to play them on a home console, the way to do it is on a Vectrex.
Hmm.
Asteroids looks very good on Vectrex.
Mm.
But that's why the monitors...
I kind of like Asteroids, but I prefer Missile Command. Missile Command is like...
It's a good game.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it was the funny thing about it, should I say, was that the 2600 version kept me going longer than the arcade one. You know, I don't know why or what it is about that version of it.
To be honest with you, the reason to own a 2600 in this day and age... because it's probably available somewhere. It may even actually be available on the PS4 now, thanks to the Battlefront PS4 release thing.
Oh, Activision.
Is actually the copy of Empire Strikes Back for the 2600.
Oh, was it Battlefield?
No, yeah, but Battlefield was released. They released a lot of classic Star Wars games, like Super Star Wars, onto the PS4.
Oh, sorry, I was getting confused with the recent thing on Call of Duty.
No.
How you can play old Activision games on Call of Duty.
You can do a few bits of that in World War II, right? They've got some of that stuff in the new Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's what I mean, in World War II.
But I'm saying when Battlefront came out, they put a load of these old Star Wars games like Bounty
Wars,
Hunter and all this
kind
of stuff.
Getting confused with Battlefield.
When they put a lot of this stuff out, it was readily available. I think, I could be wrong, but I think the Atari 2600 version of Empire Strikes Back is on there, and that's
really
very good.
I must have the Spectrum versions of all the Star Wars games.
The Atari 2600 version of Empire Strikes Back is very unique. Colours look very nice, and it's just essentially you flying around in
snowspeeders
trying to take out AT-ATs. Yeah. It's very good. I had poo-pooed it to said Tom with G.I. Joe's, and he said, no, you should go back and play that, and I did, and it's actually really good.
Mm.
In a way, I was quite surprised. Okay. There's a simplicity to the 2600 sometimes that makes me feel the way I feel about Game Boy games.
Ooh, and how's that warm and tingly inside?
Well, no, it's just I'm impressed with the limitations, but there's also a lot more shit on the Atari 2600.
Mm.
And that's why the game prices are low. So,
okay.
Though Martha did recently say to me, oh, they have an old Atari when we were in a retro shop. And I was like, yeah, I've got an old Atari. Do you want me to bring it home? She's like, oh, no, but we had an old Atari.
Mm.
And I was like, maybe I'll try and...
There's a lot of nostalgia attached to it for a lot of people. I never had one, though. So, and also, it is a real step back, the games. Compared to the Master System, for example, which is what I grew up on.
Yeah. See, we had one, right? Like, we didn't have a Woody, we had an Atari 2600 Junior, which is the sleeker looking silver console. And that was one of the first consoles I got to play with because I wasn't allowed to touch my brother's NES. It was that and a Commodore.
Yeah.
And even at the time, like, even as a 3-year-old child, I remember playing games like Power Blade and Super Mario with my brother on the NES, playing games like Rampage and lots more on the Commodore 64, and then playing the Atari 2600 games, and then just not feeling as fun to me.
Even then, they were outdated. Like, yeah.
Even then, they felt very tired, a lot of them. Like I said, this could...
There are a lot which aren't that good, but then the ones I mentioned earlier... Where a lot of the classics, just that core gameplay hasn't aged at all. You know, it's still Missile Command still as playable as it was. Breakout still as playable as it was.
I mean, we had decent games. Like, we had Miss Pac-Man, which is regarded as a very good 2600 game. We had Popeye, which was all right.
Yeah.
We had Galaga, which is still to this day one of my favorite games. But like,
you don't have much nostalgia for it.
I have none really.
Which is funny because I have nostalgia for the Spectrum, and you could say the same thing about the Spectrum as well. But that's because I used to play on the Spectrum. My uncle had one.
I don't really have that much nostalgia for a Commodore either, though. Like, as much as I will get goosebumps thinking about the time of, like, right, you got to put the tape in, you got to put the run commands in, you got to press play, you got to go make a cup of tea or go outside for 20 minutes, then come back and hope Rampage loaded. There's something cool about that, but at the same time, it's just, I don't know, my nostalgia seemed to cater more towards the NES because that was like the first real console that I felt my brother didn't care about anymore because he got a Super Nintendo and I got to play with that.
What about, did you play on the Atari ST or the Amiga?
We got an Amiga. An Amiga was a bit later though. My brother pretty much lived on Championship Manager, so I never really got to play the Amiga that much. There were games for it that we had. We had Zool, we had Gloom, which was like the Amiga off-brand Doom. Cannon Fodder. I have great memories of playing Cannon Fodder.
Lemmings?
No, we never had Lemmings or anything, when I was a kid.
That's one of the games I really associate with
Alfred Chicken, but I associate Alfred Chicken more with the Super Nintendo than the Amiga, even though eventually we got a disc with the words Alfred Chicken written on it that I could play. Simon the Sorcerer, actually.
It's good old adventure games. Also, Loom was one I
never played Loom. Oh, I remember you bringing it back, early LucasArts thing. Yeah. Looks really good. Never got around to playing it.
Yeah. It's nice little, like the trigger, the floppy drive. You know.
It's comforting, isn't it?
Yes, the clicking of it. Oh. I haven't really played much else this last week. That's about it, to be honest.
I think that's it for me, to be honest, as well. I did play a game for the Game Boy, which will be the next Boyographic, which will be out next week, called Heavyweight Boxing, which was actually all right, but I won't talk too much about it here. But very interesting that the Japanese version has very different names from the fighters. Can you guess what franchise that the names are all ripped off from? Think boxing.
Boxing franchise.
A boxing movie franchise.
Oh, Rocky. Sorry, yeah. That would be obvious one.
One of the white dudes is named, like, Rocky the Champ.
Okay.
Yeah, and, like, there's an Apollo Greed or something like that.
If it is Apollo Greed, that would be a great one.
I think it's something stupid. I think it's, like, Apollo Food. I think they tried to make Apollo Greed and the
food.
Pan, yeah.
Oh, my.
I don't know.
Stretching it.
Yeah, it very much is.
But I'd like to say this week, thanks for the warm response to our question.
Yeah, people replied.
Yes. So thank you very much for that. Well, we can do that again.
We can.
we talked about old board games mostly, because that seems to be a topic everyone can relate to, their enjoyment of board games.
Yes.
We had a few nice jokey ones as well, but primarily people were very into board games.
It was time to play the game.
Indeed, and I learnt about a few games that I was not familiar with.
Ooh la la.
It was Ghost House.
I've seen Ghost House in charity shops here.
Yeah.
And it looks really cool.
There was another one, but I can't remember that one.
However, like, as with anything I see in Denmark in a charity shop that's board game related, all the rules and stuff are going to be in Danish. So I'm just like, I could just do that, or I could just buy the English copy and have done with it.
Yeah. Well, we did enjoy the feedback.
We did.
And the conversation. And we have to come up with another another topic now.
Yeah, right. Another question.
Well, of course, we posted a question before the podcast went up, I think.
We did, yeah. But, you posted it into obscurity. Right, okay. What is a console that you have owned yet have no nostalgia for?
Oh, you've owned it as well and you don't care about it.
Oh. I think that is a question. I mean, like, you must have a console that you've owned that you've just gone, this is crap and sold. Like,
no, not even the CDI.
Really?
I mean, as crap as it might be, there's always some redeeming features.
You played a lot of CDI stuff, didn't you? Like,
yeah, I did. I played Lemmings for the first... Not for the first time, actually. First time with the Amiga. No, Atari ST.
I mean, Christ, should we talk about The Apprentice as well?
The Apprentice. Like, what a great game.
There's police sirens outside. I don't know if they're picking up on the podcast. As
soon as I mentioned the Apprentice,
someone's coming for you.
Someone found out about
that. Alan Sugar.
That secret nudity in the Apprentice. Have you heard about that?
I linked it to you.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I blew your tiny little mind with that secret nudity. Okay. Yeah.
No, there's nothing. I mean, you would say the.
I would say the
Atari 2600. Yeah. Is there any console you played as a kid? You didn't have to own it.
Yeah.
But if you played it quite a bit as a kid, so for example, that I played the Spectrum quite a bit.
I mean, having those, I also feel the same way about the Mega Drive. I owned one of those. I don't really have any nostalgia towards that.
I mean, if you owned it as a kid, you usually do. If you owned it in later years, then it's more difficult. I have no nostalgia for NES.
Yeah.
Because I never played it. I like it. I think it's a fantastic system with some great games. Same with Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
No nostalgia. It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That these consoles, everybody has these... everyone seems to have these memories of. I can't even say I have much nostalgia for the Mega Drive because I never had one.
No, I mean, like...
I'd read about it all the time and dream about owning a Mega Drive.
I got a Mega Drive because my cousin, my uncle, and my aunt had a divorce, and my cousin remarried, and the guy that my aunt remarried, he had a Mega Drive. So when he moved in... they didn't need two Mega Drives anymore, so I got a Mega Drive for free with, like, 6-in-1, which was, like, Golden Axe and a few other good games. Mm-hmm. But primarily, I think we had Micro Machines, we had Megalomania, and I bought Shinobi at some point. But those are the only Mega Drive games I ever had.
Mm.
And as much as I like Micro Machines, I would attribute that nostalgia more to Micro Machines than I would the Mega Drive.
Wow. I first played Micro Machines on a CDI.
Really?
Ugh. you ever played a CDI version of Micro Machines?
I've never played a CDI, Tom.
Wow, we're going to have to change that.
I nearly bought one a couple of months back, and then I believe podcast listener Tom Lee C told me, nah man, you're good, don't need it, you don't need it, and I didn't. He's right, I didn't.
I don't need a 32X, even though I want to play Knuckles Chaotix.
No, I mean, emulate it. I mean, buy it, obviously, first, and then emulate it for reals. Okay, let's wrap up the podcast then. Yeah, let us know on the variety of places you can let us know things about your lack of nostalgia for certain consoles. You can do that on Twitter at TMAcast. You can do that on Facebook at facebook.com/TomAndMattAttack, as well as on our blog, TomAndMattAttack.com/podcast, and on blastprocess.com. You can also do it, I guess, in the YouTube channel of blastprocess.com, because you can leave a comment on this episode when it's listed. Yep. Or also, maybe just throw it to Tom and the Parry's Pickups if you don't want to be the only one commenting on this podcast.
I'm on Twitter, TomParry11.
Yeah, I'm there at GameBoil. You can also do it to us there. You can also listen to this podcast, though, as well as on YouTube and the pre-mentioned sites in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're in iTunes, why not give us a cheeky rate and subscribe? Share the podcast, share the love, tell us what console you are blah about on those places. Cool. Right, let's wrap this up then, Tom Parry. What do we tell them every week?
Have a nice week. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, we say that.
But we won't this week because I won't be here next week.
All right, okay. Well, that was probably worth mentioning up front, wasn't it?
Christ, how sporadic are our podcasts these days?
They are a bit.
Well, I mean,
busy,
you know, lives. It's almost as if you're about to make a giant life changing decision.
Well, this one is I'm going to go and see Depeche Mode next weekend in the UK.
I mean, that,
so.
To some, that is a giant life changing decision. But okay, cool. Well, look forward to hearing about your Depeche Mode trip. And
but
I guess.
I do know what we say.
Yes.
We say.
Hang on, I was just going to say, we can tell them about Super Lucky's Tale and Sonic.
Yeah, we can,
next
eventually,
time,
yeah.
As well as your experience of the Switch. Ooh la la.
No, you won't, because that's for Christmas.
Oh, you're keeping that for Christmas, yeah. I see. Okay.
Nintendo Switch.
But Tom, what do we tell them?
Game on.
Yeah, we do.